Right. Before we begin, shall we confess? I'm in the right place. Voice, please. I'm in the right place, at the right time, do the right thing. Sometimes it is good to keep saying what we believe and what we say. Right. To start with, Philippians, this particular letter, it is written by Paul when he was in the house arrest. He was preaching in Jerusalem. A Jewish scholar, a strong mindset one, who absolutely hates Christians, and he is preaching about Jesus Christ. Somehow, the people, the Jewish leaders and the people over there couldn't take it. How this man can change from one direction to the other direction completely. So they said, no, 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 this man has to be arrested. So he was arrested. And Paul, he said, I'm a Roman citizen, so I should be judged in a different way, not like a Jewish. So he was moved from Jerusalem to the Rome. And he was in a place, solitary place, where he can stay within the house, but he can't go outside the house. So he has written a letter to Philippians, to Macedonia. Macedonia is like Rome, it's another place, where Philippi is a place, it's a cosmopolitan place, like our church from different countries. So it's a place where the Jewish believers believing Christ and the new believers believing Christ and different cultures and the people believing Christ. So that particular church is a mix of different mindsets and different cultures. So naturally you don't see uniformity. Naturally there will be disagreement, which is common. And here Philippians, this letter, he has penned it to say, be joyful in Christ. Be uniform in the Christ. The purpose, the main purpose, if you see the motive of the call is written in one word. If you have a Bible, I'll read it once again. First chapter 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I have been preparing for this one particular verse, and some of the words I'll be speaking a bit later, not so comfortable, but I feel like I'm compelled to speak. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid it, but I feel like maybe I have to speak. 25 years back, there is a man named Bhakti Singh in India, like a Billy Graham in the USA, and he was on his way from Hyderabad to Chennai or Madras, like we going from London to Manchester. One of the brother is waiting in the airport. Time is at 11:30 is a flight time, and it is a local one, so 1 hour time check-in time, 1 hour is all right. If it is international, 2 or 3 hours once you get into it. So at 10:30. He was there waiting for the bus. 10:35, 10:45, 11, and still no bus. He did not come. And when he inquired, he was told that he left this place and he is on his way. He did not come. It was 11:20, 11:30 time. Plane has come, and the bus has come up. Very disappointed. Son, what is this? It is necessary, you have to follow the time. You have to come here, but you did not come. And as usual, in the same case, he said, yeah, actually I want to come early, but God told me to go into one particular family and pray for that woman. So I have to follow God. And I went to that place, prayed for the woman, and came back. And that is how it is delayed. And he was so disappointed, that particular brother. Pastor, if you don't go to that particular place, there the people have to wait longer because the next flight is after 6 hours. And they can't wait for that long. Correct? Manly, discouraged. But somehow we have our own perspective, and Jesus has his own perspective called eternal perspective. We mostly miss it. And we don't even think about it. Sometimes. While the plane is on the way, the richest woman from England was there. She has forgotten her engagement ring in the restroom in the airport. She straight away stood, spoke to the air hostess, and the air hostess spoke to the pilots and said, "Whatever the money you wish, I'll pay, but I want my ring back. Can you turn the plane?" "Whoa, whoa, whoa, this is not a normal bus where you say you turn back." "No, no, no, we have particular rules. They have to speak to the control tower, they have to agree to us, then we have to go. Whatever you ask for." That word is something different. "Okay, okay, okay." They reluctant, but at the time it was India is under the British rule. And she was so much wealthy, she said, "I will pay whatever you want, I will pay the tax." "Okay, fine." And came back. The plane came back, and she found it like, coming back is a good thing, and finding the golden ring is also a good thing. She found the ring, and naturally, it was told that he was late and is willing to join the plane. And people also were there like, "Yes, you can." Man's perspective, eternal perspective, both are different, but both work on the same situation. Here, in this one, Paul, he was in a place, and he wanted to evangelize. And to do evangelism, right now, we can go to one place to another and come back. But at the time, if you leave a place, you don't know when you'll come back, because it has to travel on the sea, so anything can happen. So you may come, or you may not come back. He wants to do evangelism. He feels like it is his duty to do it. And desire also. He was caught in between desire and the duty, but he was confined to one particular place. He did not know that it is an appointment from God. How a person who has to evangelize sit in a particular place and be an appointment with God? That is a place in the Rome later. At that moment, Paul, when he was preaching about the Christianity, Romans felt, this is just a casual religion or something, and it is okay. Around 60 AD this one. But later, they have, at 70 AD, under the Roman general Titus, they have completely destroyed Jerusalem temple, and they have killed it. So dangerously they have killed. Wherever there is a tree, a person was crucified. Women, children, whoever it is, kill, 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 kill. That was a dangerous, painful one can say. And if you can remember, when disciples have asked Jesus Christ, "Wow, look at the beauty of the church." But God was saying, in 3 days, it will be destroyed and I'm going to build it. In doing so, he has seen the pain of the Jerusalem that is going to happen. And when Paul was in this particular place, he has written a letter to the Philippians, "Please make sure you be strong in it, be very good in it." But why? He himself is not there. When he was changed from the Jewish to the Christian, and he was in the temple, he healed it just by the word. "In the name of Jesus, you stand up," means people got healed. And later, in the different situations, he's the greatest evangelist of all time, the man who has written 13 books from the New Testament, and he has a problem. And the problem is of a different one. Probably I heard he was slightly blind. He was in a painful situation. and he has asked God, can you heal me? No response. After some time, another time, can you heal me? Again, no response. And 3 times he has said, Father, can you heal me? Here, we have to understand. When he prayed for other person, only once, and that person was healed. And when he tried to evangelize the different people, he was healed. They were healed. People were healed. But when it comes to our own self, the man, the greatest evangelist of all time, when he prays for him, God said, one of the greatest words in the Bible, my grace is sufficient for you. That's a very grateful word indeed. This particular word is answer to at least 10 to 20 questions of this. When we say, why? God answers, why not? If we can go and say, Father, why this is the thing you have, everyone have in our lives, things definitely God will not do. I mean, few things, I have my own things. Definitely not going to do means, it remains an answer. It is not something like, he will not do or he cannot do. Holy Jesus is God, not because what he has done to us. He is God because of who he is. I repeat again, Jesus Christ is God for who he is, but not what he has done. When we say, Father, why you have not done, then God answers in a very beautiful way sometimes. If you listen, okay, John, let's see. You were born on this day, okay, July 9th, 5th. Let's open this, your album. When you were born, I was there. When you were eating, I was there. When you are all left alone, your mom is working somewhere, your dad is outside trying to earn money for you. You are about to fall, but I stopped. You are about to get a disease, I stopped it. In the second year, this is what happened. In the third year, this is happened. If you list God what you have not done, he will list out what he has done. The list of God, what he has done, is so much, of so much weight, but what he has not done is of very less weight. We can't understand how it can be. God, if you have done all these things, why you have not done only 3 of the things which are necessary, which are important to me, which is good to me? God says, my grace is sufficient for you. The same Paul, the greatest evangelist, he said, when he was going through the pain, maybe God has told him, when he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You were traveling, and the ship has wrecked. Everyone are in the ocean, but you did not die. My grace is sufficient. When you are bitten by a poisonous snake, you did not die. My grace is sufficient. When you are in a situation, a dangerous situation, where you are about to be killed, I protect you with my angels. My grace is sufficient. The one word, my grace is sufficient to me, is so much of value. When we have a deeper relationship with God, we understand more and more things what we have done. If you can say, what were the best moments in your life? Hardly you say, I went to that particular place and I have enjoyed the beautiful, colorful food, very nutritious food. I worked on this one, I enjoyed this place. Hardly you remember that. You remember the place where you are in a terrible situation, painful situation, where you think it is not possible, but God, step by step, not fully at a time, step by step, when God starts to you, changes the environment around you, you remember those things. That's the difference between the Christianity and the world. We have the deeper relationship with God when we have trouble. what that particular adversity means. Adversity, it promotes the relationship with God. Okay? Can we have the same relationship when you're happy? No. When you're happy, hardly you remember the list of tasks to do. You don't remember. When you're unhappy, when you're in a difficult place, you have less to do things and more things where you can converse with God. So it is like we have good, we have bad. This is a cursed world. Naturally, there is a sickness, there is a pain. But God has said, I have overcome the world, and you can do it also. God gives us enough courage to face the problems, but always make sure, sometimes standing is resisting. You don't need to overcome every time. If you believe what you believe, if you do what you are actually doing, that is resisting. Standing is resisting. You don't need to do the big things to God. What are the little things we do for the God? It is always accounted, and God is going to pay back. And there comes the difficult part, I want to say. Elijah is a disciple of Elijah. And he has done 14 miracles in his life. And Elisha wanted, I want exactly the double portion of what you have your anointing. He said, okay, here we go. You're going to have it. If you see, when I go away from this particular earth to heaven, and somehow he's the only person who just goes away like that. And it was visible. Like Jesus going from earth to heaven, Elijah is the only person who is like that. He went on this chariot. Wow, it's colorful. And in his last days, he did exactly 24 miracles, exactly the double portion of it. In the last days, he suffered. The man who had a double portion of anointing, the man who can raise from the dead. And he did miracles where the people around there were so surprised, praised God, but he suffered in his last days. And he died. But after his death, when the sick person went to that particular dead body and place, he came back to life. How can this happen? Why God can't heal a person when he's suffering, but the same God heals a person who is in a sick or who is a dead, he can come back. What is this? How this imbalance can happen? Everyone has their unanswered question. And only the God is the one who can answer. The greatest day, tough thing, I'm going to close it. The greatest day in your life is your last day of life. Reason. When we are here, we always have to pay personal taxes and the rent. To earn money, we have to work. To have the clothes, we have to do that. To do shopping, to do cooking, and all the things will come up. But when we feel like we are tired, we have done our best, and when a guard's looking to the time and say, hey, come home. That is the greatest love. When we are in the pain, remember, God has exactly the same thing. In the Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, let's look into our agreement. I have come to this place, leaving heaven, and came to the earth. But this pain is so painful, I can't take it. Can you please remove this cup from me? How can God, Jesus Christ, came in the form of human, and how we can say that? He understood the pain of it. He knew exactly what you are doing. And he knew. But did God change? No answer. Again he tried to use his relationship, and again he tried, and no was the answer. And they said, okay, you don't change. Okay, fine, probably he would have remembered. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, in which he spoke in Hebrew 13:18. And the God, can we read Hebrews 13:8, Josh? Yeah. We are all very good biblical students sometimes. Next time. 13:8. Yeah. Whatever the problems we have, or the good things or bad things, there are things always remember. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can do anything, principle number one. He can do anything at any time. Principle number two, according to the Paul, writing his letter to Corinthians, adversity promotes deeper relationship with God. In adversity, we always have a choice to leave God or to come closer to God. Always a choice. As a choice, so the consequence, plain and simple. And the third thing is slightly similar to the first one. God can do anything at any time. The same God can remain silent at any time. There are a few things that we don't have any answer. But when God says, time is up, come home, the beautiful days we're going to have. Then we say exactly like what Paul said. To die is for Christ. What is it? To live is for Christ. To die is for God. It is always for God. God is good. God is great. Thank you.